Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to Stardom Review. I am your co-host, Andre C. Right over here, it's the on-time princess herself. It's Melball. How you doing, Melball?
I am not tardy.
I was the one running behind today. And usually I'm in the room like 10, 15 minutes early, send her a link like 10 minutes out. She jumps on like 5 to 10 minutes after we were planning to record. And I was the one sending her a link like a few minutes after we were planning to record. So,
yeah. Sometimes the lashes are a struggle. She's been cheating lately and just wearing the glasses. She still looks cute though.
Oh, yeah. Glasses always look nice on a lady.
I learned you. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I was in and out a bunch today, just getting errands run and getting stuff watched and doing other people's podcasts today.
Oh, yeah!
Appeared on I recorded Remember the Game over Adam Blank's podcast. Remember the Game today, talking the awesome, beautiful, remembered, but actually terrible game, like terribly just frustrating game, The Lion King. I must have become a very soft gamer because I suck at that game now.
You know, every once in a while, I will pull out like my old PS2 and like play something like stupid easy that I loved playing as a kid. Like, this is gonna sound so stupid, I'm a big kid, so like SpongeBob SquarePants the movie on PS2, that game was a lot of fun. Or like something, you know, normal people play, like God of War, and I'll be like, I don't remember it being this difficult. But you know what I really liked about games back then is they had this like little ditty that they would play whenever you did something right. I would call it the holy shit you did it right music.
Yeah, I think that world came in on like PS1 and 64 is when they started giving you those chimes, because like on the 64 or on the SNES and Genesis, it was just a lot of great 8-bit music, especially if it's a licensed game here in the like, or the chiptune version of like the Lion King music or Aladdin's music. That's where that went. Then you got, I think it's in the PS1. Yeah, I guess there's some other games that would like give you that little chime, say you're going the right way, you're doing the right thing. That always makes you feel good in the game.
It does. It's almost like it's like giving you a little treat for doing a job well done.
Yeah, again, it's fun. And again, like talking the old game, if I'm going to go back to play an old game that I don't want, that I know I just want to relax and play, is actually Spyro the Dragon, any of the three.
Oh, yeah.
I got the re-release. I have the re-release on Switch, and I play those. Oh, I love it. Like, I love Crash Bandicoot 2, and I had the Switch version, but I don't know if it's me, but when I play Crash on, like, I still have my old Crash Bandicoot Warped game, and when I play it on my PS2, I have no problem. But when I played it on Switch, I felt like there was a timing issue. I don't know if it was from the remaster or what it is. It just felt off, like jumping and trying to land certain things just felt off to me. But when I play the original versions, or I play it on like I have it on my PS4, right? And I have like the PS1 classic version on my PS4. I find that one runs fine, but it's the remastered one of the Switch. It just feels off to me, and I don't know why. But I play it on my PS4. I play my actual disc that I still have on my PS2. Not a problem. Weird.
Interesting. Very interesting.
For Spyro, great. Spyro works perfectly. And again, I think it's a better way to play it now. It's the better way to play it on the remastered trilogy, because it's crisper. Everything it's loading fast. Everything's loading faster. It's cleaner. I love it. Love me some Spyro the Dragon.
I'm not going to lie. This is the Spyro I will actually pull out on the PS2. I really like the PS2 version with all the one. What is it? Enter the Dragonfly. That was my favorite.
That was a good one.
We're talking about the wrong thing right now, my friend.
Technically, all PlayStation's from Japan. We're talking Japanese, technically. Yeah, but we're not. If you want to hear me talk video games, as this comes out on Wednesday, that's when the new episode of Remember the Game drops. So go check that out. Myself, I Remember the Game, talking The Lion King, and I promo all this at the end. Talk talk, I promo SNME and OLE and us all at the end of the show. But yeah, go check me out over there. Remember the Game. Yeah. And if you're watching this because you listen to Remember the Game, thank you for joining us. Or SNME. Like, if you're listening or watching or whatever, thank you. I really appreciate you coming over from SNME. or Remember the Game. I really do. But we're here to talk wrestling. We're going to talk Stardom's Cinderella Tournament quarterfinals. And then this will come out, like, at least the video version coming out Wednesday. I'm not sure when the audio version is going to come on SNME. But then we're going to have the finals and the semifinals and final show, which was all in one, coming out right after this. So that'll be recorded tomorrow as we talk right now. So that all coming right quite quick soon. We'll be coming to that to you very, very soon. And we're going to kick this off with the quarterfinal show, March 17th Cinderella Tournament. It kicks off with Xena versus Rocka. Was that new gear for Xena, or is just I don't recognize the gear? Is that like I just
no? I don't her gear, like the in ring gear, pants and the top. I think are not new,
but that's
her cape, like, and Stratus. But I think that the cape might be.
Yeah, the cape is the capes. Yeah, I haven't personally seen her with that long train style cape that she has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me neither. I really liked it, but I think her pants, at the very least, are not new.
Yeah. So they get into it. Yeah, so they get into it in the match. The power seems kind of even. They both are kind of got the strength going on. They're like pushing each other into the ropes. Rocka goes to the eyes to get the advantage. Tosses Xena around by the hair, standing on her head. She chokes her three different times at sending the refs like 1, 2, 3. She lets go and then choke again. 1, 2, 3. Let's go. Then chokes again. And transition and then comes back, hits a senton for 2. Transition into the crossfade, but Xena gets her foot on the ropes. Xena then boots Rocka coming into the corner, hits a tornado, and Xena hits a tornado DDT for 2. She hits kicks, hits a suplex for 2. Xena with a hard chop, but Rocka grabs her over the top. Oedo Tai try to get involved, but they are stopped by members of EXV. And Xena gets a head kick, gets back in to get the roll up into a kick, and then gets a cover for 2. They trade strikes at center. They trade lariats. They both go down. Rocka hits a fisherman suplex for 2. Xena fights back with a big old lariat. Rocka blocks the suplex, but then Xena gets the hook kick and gets Rocka up. But Rocka slips off the shoulders, pushes Xena into the ref, and Rocka hits Xena with a lariat. Momo then attacks Xena. Tora uses the chair. Momo hits a dude buster. And Rocka hits the freezer bomb from the top for the win, House of Torture style.
Yeah.
Yeah, not as bad as the House of Torture match, but this ending was like, that's a House of Torture ending.
Yeah, and I was not happy with it. Still rocking my Oedo Tai shirt. Still rocking the purple in my hair, still rocking the purple lips. But man, this was a frustrating match because I had a lot of hopes for this with the power versus power. These girls, when it was the wrestling in the beginning there, though, a tremendous, tremendous exchange between the two of them. Xena is a very, very efficient worker. She works very cautiously with the girls in Japan, and I really, really like it. I like how she fits in with them as well, because she's like obviously different, but then fits in with the style very, very well. Rocka rocking the short do again. She's got that little kind of bob thing going on. Kind of dig it. I really do like how she switches up her style so much and so frequently. She's kind of becoming like a young Julia. Kind of changing up the hairstyle quite a bit. I'd like to see her keep doing that. It makes it interesting. It's like, ooh, what's she going to be looking like today? Mm-hmm. But yeah, the shenanigans at the end, it took me out a little bit. Mm-hmm. Made me very It felt very House of Torture-y.
I was going to say, it's every match rule. It's been every match in this tournament for Ruaka.
Yeah, I was going to say, at least they haven't done the same thing that House of Torture did with the New Japan Cup, where they were there at every person's kind of match and causing problems and stuff like that. You know, Ruaka seems to be the focal point of the group right now. So, you know, they weren't really too crazy with Starlight Kid's match. Tora just kind of tore it herself. Mama wasn't even in the tournament. So, like, yeah, it makes sense to me to have the other girls supporting Ruaka in this. It's just odd that some of the things happening.
Yeah, I agree. Again, good match. Like, overall, it was really good match. And then the ending, I was just like, oh, you just had to go there for the ending. Come on.
Right.
It was one of those kinds of shows where it's just like, okay, I guess so. You went with the ending. So, yeah. But again, good match. Xena, I think, had a really good showing. Rock had a really good showing. And then the ending happened. That's how I look at this one. But we're going to move on. Second match of the quarterfinal. Again, we're only talking the quarterfinal matches on this show. With the finals, we'll do the whole show, but I'm not going to be going full through every single match. Just, I'll go full through the semis, the finals, the world title, and maybe Tam and Julia. That looks like it'll be a good match. And then we'll just summarize the rest of the matches on that card. So we're getting Azumi versus Miwa Masaki. They each try to toss each other over right at the start. And then Azumi gets back in and runs and slides out. But Miwa's on the apron is like trying to like pull her down to the mat. I was like,
so funny.
I'm like, that's fair. You get her over the top, you slide out and try to pull her down. That seems pretty fair to me. It's not, you're not cheating. Azumi and back in the ring gets the snapmare and PK. She tosses Miwa by the hair, chokes her on the rope, and then like she like bounces off the bottom rope to like stomp on her. Like Azumi getting a little heelish here, getting a little like, I'm gonna beat the hell out of you here.
She was very savage in this one. Yeah, very mean.
And the fact that they're stablemates too. They're both Queen's Quest, right? Like Miwa's Queen's Quest, right? Yeah.
Great.
So you have a Queen's Quest. This is 0-2 line. This is a tag team facing off in the quarterfinal. Yeah. I was just thinking, oh yeah, they're part of the same faction. Then yeah, they're 0-2 line. She's like, I'm not letting you beat me. I'm the new leader of this faction. I'm gonna be the new leader of this faction. You're not beating me. Is the way it felt to me, anyways. Azumi's like starts kicking at the arm of Miwa because you know she likes to work over the arm in matches. She's got a lot of arm submissions. They trade strikes at center. Azumi gets another snapmare and PK. Miwa fights back with a low drop kick and then hits that short DDT for two. Miwa tosses Azumi into the corner but gets stopped on the back handspring. And then she tries for the pendulum DDT, but she gets stopped on that. They trade more shots to center. Miwa gets a roll up for two. Then she does get the pendulum DDT, does not follow it up. Azumi comes back, hits a suplex. They're both down. Azumi gets the kick. Sweeps the leg, Johnny. Hits a PK and then a stomp for two. She misses the top rope stomp, but gets Miwa over the ropes. Then Miwa pulls her to the apron. They fight their way back in, and they get into a roll up exchange. Azumi fights or kicks away a lariat attempt and gets the Fujiwara armbar, then into the double armbar. But Miwa gets a foot on the ropes. She hits the buzzsaw kick. Azumi goes up, hits the top rope double stomp. But Miwa kicks out of that 2.999. It's like literally, I thought the ref was about to hit when she kicked out. Like it was that close. It looked really good. Miwa comes back with a tornado that just like pops up, goes off the second turnbuckle, hits a tornado DDT, kind of almost out of nowhere. Gets a roll up for two. Azumi then hits a roundhouse kick, but Miwa ducks another kick attempt. She gets a roll up, but then Azumi transitions out of getting rolled up into an armbar, then gets the double armbar, sits back on them, and Miwa is forced to submit. and Azumi gets a submission victory. I love the double armbar that she does. And she's like, she lays back on the armbar on the arms to really like torque them backwards. I think it's really cool. I like it.
I agree. This match gave me the same vibes that like Xena and Waka did. I had the same kind of twinge of excitement going into it because these two are stable mates and because they are tag team. They know each other so well. I mean, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, did Miyu mentor under Azumi a little bit when she had first started?
Yeah, because when she joined Queen's Quest and they became a tag team, it was like Azumi wasn't like she's the apprentice like Kurara is and stuff, but she was like, she kind of took her and they did a lot of tag team stuff for a long while. Mm-hmm. Worked that first tag lead together, then did last year's tag lead together. Yeah, they had a good bit of time together as a tag team, and really you could see most of Miyu's tag matches and multi-person tags, Azumi was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a connection there, and like it's like one of those friendships within the faction of like who knows each other mm-hmm. really better than each other in this situation. The PKs that Azumi was feeding to Miyu for a bit there were just so stiff. Ooh, her kicks are getting, like, she's always had really good kicks, but those kicks are getting good, mm-hmm. getting gooder, good and gooder. Miyu was fighting really, really hard in this one too, just really giving her all in this one. She was the most vocal, I think, in this match that I've ever heard her in any other match. And same with Azumi. And again, I feel like it was that friendship that they have that enabled them to unlock these like other levels of themselves in this match, much like Xena and Waka did when they had their match. Yeah, this was a lot of fun. Kind of figured Azumi would pick up the win on this. And I wanted to mention Azumi's hair. She's still rocking the blonde there, but she's got those nice pink tippy tippies going on now. Very, very nice. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I thought they work really well together, and the fact again the familiarity helps. Again, there's two, mm-hmm. and you really see the evolution in Miyu and mm-hmm, how good mm-hmm. she's doing in this tournament. She had a couple of surprising, definitely her second round victory was surprising to me, but it's showing that mm-hmm. they're really trying to elevate her at more of a presence, to be more of a presence in the division. She's been around a couple of years now, so I don't. It's mm-hmm. But you still kind of have that thought of her as the young girl, you know what I mean? Because that's what mm-hmm. she was for a long time. But then it's like, no, she's more main level faction now. It's like, oh yeah, so I can see it now. So I was like, there's a chance she could win this here, like you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Once you kind of mm-hmm. get that in your head, like, again, mm-hmm. it's cool to see her being risen up the card a little bit.
I agree. It's nice to watch.
Oh, yeah. We're going to move on. It's Crazy Stars, May Sarah versus God's Eyes, Ami Sarai, champion versus champion here, High Speed versus Artist. But how long will Ami be an Artist champion? That's the question. Fast start with May getting the sunset flip early, but Ami gets out, hits a lariat. They start trading strikes, a series of reversals. May gets the low drop kick to the head. Ami then comes back with the shoulder block, picks May up, tossing her over the top, but May comes back like as Ami's running in, she jumps up and then like wrecking ball drop kicks herself through the ropes back into the ring. Mm-hmm. And then she gets on Ami's back, rear naked choke, but Ami eventually fights it off by slamming May into the corner. Then she gets the corner splash and then she hits a shoulder block. Ami starts unloading on May with that Kojima style chop, just bang, 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 bang. Ami gets the torture rack, slams her into the corner, hits the splash. But as she goes to get the sliding lariat, May rolls her up for two. May gets a drop toe hold, wrestles her around a little bit, hits a hook kick, then kicks to the in a kick in the ropes, but it's she goes for a springboard, gets caught. Ami then hits a suplex for two. May gets a roll up off Ami gets her up on her shoulder, and May gets down into a sunset flip. Ami gets out at two. Ami responds with the big lariat. But then May hits a drop kick, then hits that snap sunset flip that she does, but she can only get two. Ami pushes May over when she's going for a springboard attempt. But then May, as Ami comes into it, like splash her on the ropes, send her to the floor. She low bridges her, so Ami ends up on the apron. They fight on the apron. May tries for a German, can't get it, but then she comes back, hits the MX. Ami then stops May from going in and gets her up, brain buster on the apron, and May crashes to the floor, and Ami is your winner. Again, I love the finish here, especially with the brain buster to solidify it all. I was like, yeah, it's not always do the over-the-top rope eliminations work, but this one did because they were battling to the end, and with both anybody could hit the floor, and she dropped her with that brainbuster. I'm like, yep, good. I'm happy.
Yeah, it was a great way to kind of play that end thing there with the top rope stuff. This was very much about stuff. It was very much a battle of speed versus power in this one, where Ami was just doing her best to hit Maymay, and Maymay was doing everything she could to bob and weave. She was taking a Jack O'Connor route, you know, bob and weave, get out of the way. May did so good against someone like Ami with the power that she does, because there was a definite size difference. I mean, Maymay is tiny. She's tiny. She's like Malball tiny. And Ami is not. what did I have in this? Oh, Ami is twinning with Azumi now, rocking the pretty blonde with the pink tips. It was very apparent after this match, I'm sure you'll mention, unless you didn't see it.
Did I miss something?
Azumi came to the ring to confront Ami.
Oh, yeah.
And Ami just shoved her off the apron. They looked identical.
They had a very similar look. Just Ami looked like she was the big sister, and Azumi looked like the little sister, is what it really was.
It did. Yeah, it was great. I don't have a whole ton to add to this. This was a really just fun, quick-paced match. Did you see Suzu also after? She was laughing at Maymay.
Well, why not, right? Like, your friend... But it's like, how can you laugh at her when you got eliminated in the second round and she made it to the quarterfinals? So,
I mean, that's true. That's true. Yeah, Suzu did carry out Maymay also. They had a nice little thingy going on.
It's a friendly rivalry. It's the friends that can make fun of each other. Honestly, if you can't make fun of your best friends... then there's no point in you being friends if you can't make fun of each other. I make fun of Mel almost every day, and she still loves me, so we're good.
Yeah, there's levels of the joke that we can take. You're always told when the joke gets taken too far.
It's true. I'm trying. I'm trying not to be taking it too far anymore. Move on. The final quarterfinal match, it's Hanan versus Starlight Kid. They're fighting for dominance at the start. They're each chopping each other's move, but Starlight Kid gets the springboard crush. She hits a dropkick, then follows it up with a standing moonsault for two. Hanan gets the judo toss and then hits a running body attack in the ropes and gets a two count. Starlight Kid with hard strikes, but Hanan hits a dropkick. She runs the ropes, but she gets tripped up and pulled out blatantly in front of the referee, and so that kid climbs on the rope. She's like yelling at her team. It was a little odd here. So she's getting attacked on the floor blatantly in front of the refs, and this is where Starlight Kid comes out, and she kind of like almost runs away to tie off here in a way and then took her on and tossed her back in. Yeah, because it seemed like she was almost more annoyed that Oedotai pulled her out and started attacking her, because she was like, I don't need you to do this, is what it kind of what it felt like to me. I don't know if that's what they were going for, but that's because she had this when she was on the rope. She kind of was like looking, going like, the fuck, and then she rolls out and like kind of like blocks her team from attacking more and brings Hanan back in. So like it was almost like, hey, I don't need your help. I'm just that good. Is how I felt the situation went. But
it definitely gave that vibe. Yeah.
So yeah. So they trade drop kicks back in the ring. Then they each doing reversals to each other, and Hanan gets a crossbody off the second turnbuckle. Starlight Kid reverses a scoop slam, gets sliced bread number two. But then Hanan comes back with the with a sliding black back elbow. Both women are down. Starlight Kid gets a drop kick, then another drop kick. She goes up to the top, gets attacked by Hanan trying to pull down, but Starlight Kid fights her off, and then she repositions. Then Hanan comes back and gets a jumping uppercut to her on the top rope, and she pulls her down into a backdrop driver and then hits the running famouser, but can only get two. Starlight Kid unloads on Hanan at center, but Hanan gets as Starlight Kid runs, and then she comes back, she pops her up and hits another uppercut, and then hits that bridging fall-away slam for two. Starlight Kid then fights back with a satellite DDT. She goes up, hits the Twisting Frog Splash, only gets two. She goes back up, hits the moonsault, but Hanan kicks it at 2.9, just barely kicking out. And you could audibly hear the crowd going that she kicked out of the moonsault. You're like, ooh, okay, this crowd expected this to be over here. Hanan then gets out of the Tiger Suplex and hits a follow-away slam. Starlight Kid reverses the backdrop into this headlock takeover. She just literally gets a basic, she gets out and she grabs and just rolls forward with a basic, headlock takeover into a very, simple pin for two. I was like, I haven't seen somebody do a headlock takeover in a major match in a long time, especially in, a transition scenario like this. I was like, okay. Usually, a headlock takeover at the start of the match, not in the middle or towards the end of a match. It was really weird. I just didn't expect it, especially to get a pin out of it so late in the match. I was like, okay. She then hits a running knee to the back of the head. Hanan fights back with a backdrop. Starlight Kid tries for a Michinoku driver, but Hanan gets a victory roll, but Starlight Kid kicks out of two. They fight, and then Hanan catches her into a crucifix roll-up to get the pin in the win. I was like, oh, okay, that's a surprising ending here. Again, I already knew that Hanan was winning this match, but it was cool to see. She just kind of got this almost surprising win out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's kind of what we've been seeing a little bit lately out of Stardom in their matches at the ends here. These surprising little wins with these odd little things that we don't typically see people winning with. Yeah, I kind of like it because it kind of. Yep. Again, as I'd mentioned in shows before, it takes away that predictability of the show. Because unfortunately, some of them have gotten a little predictable. We kind of know who's going to win just based on how they like to tease us. So, there's not a whole lot I can add to this that you didn't already say. This was a great match for Hanan, though. Just the evolution of the Hanan character that we've seen, for myself, just when we, I started watching, which was shortly before you, she was still in the kind of I would say the schoolgirl era. She was kind of wearing the skirt and the top, and she was doing the cheerleader thing, and she still had that fun little H-A-N-A-N, Hanan theme music.
Yeah.
She was a future of Stardom champion when I first started watching. And
was when I started too, yeah. Yeah, again, she's evolved so much, and now she's on her way. She's got a legitimate shot at getting a wish here. So, and getting a title shot out of it. So, again, she's also a New Blood tag champ at the same time. She's got a lot going for her right now. So, coming up on a review next week, there will be we're gonna have to review the show where her and there's a show from this past weekend, but we're not gonna get it out till next week just because it's crazy this week for us. It's Hanan and
Ida.
and Scarlett Kid or Hanan and Kid. Who are the, I can't remember who they're facing now, but they're defending their championships on one of the main
Hanan and
shows.
who?
Hanan and Ida.
Oh, okay. You, the
Ida.
way you worded it, you sounded like Hanan and Starlight Kid.
I did say Starlight Kid at first, then I went, no, Ida. Because again, I see Starlight Kid on my
Yeah.
But I saw Starlight Kid on my
Wasn't
screen. That's what I mean. Well, I got confused.
it
My
Xena
brain.
and Waka?
Yes, Xena and Waka. That's what I was literally looking it up to figure out. I think it's on the
Oh, no,
24th.
Hanako. Hanako and
Oh,
Waka,
Hanako.
isn't it?
Hanako and Waka. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's the main, I think it's going to be the main event on that show. But yeah, again, we got to watch that card because there's some other cool little matches on that show. Yeah.
I've seen a few pictures that's come out of that match. It looks really good.
Yeah, I haven't looked any. I don't know any results, but I've been looking at a bunch of the matches. There's a weird 12-person tag match of just a random mishmash team of God's Eye teaming with Nasty Poi and Julia and Mai Sakurai. And it's just so weird. And
It
Micah
was
versus.
not. It was not. It was fun. It was purposeful. You know what the purpose was?
What was that?
All those women at one point in time were in Donna Del Mondo.
Oh, that makes so much more sense now that I look at it.
That I
Oh,
thought the same thing when I first saw it, and I was like, wait a second.
that's a Donna
Donna
Del
Del
Mondo
Mondo.
goodbye match. God damn
That
it.
is a Donna Del Mondo revival match, is what that was, I think.
I see it now. I see it now. That makes
Light
so much
bug.
sense. I always forget that Nasty Poi was a member of that team. Because again,
How did you forget?
she
You were
left just
watching
before I started
her
watching.
turn on the faction.
Nope, because I started watching just after she joined Cosmic Angels. I didn't see the turn because the turn happened. Like I started watching in August. She turned and left in July, and I started watching in August.
And how many times have I brought this up in our shows?
I always forget.
Pay attention to a mobile.
The history of Donna Del Mondo for me is like literally like a year and a half, like a little like 2 years worth of history. That's it. Or a year and a half of history in my brain.
Sir. Oh,
Which
yeah,
was
yoy.
Hemeka should have been managing them too. God damn it.
Yeah. Anyway,
Yeah.
back to the action at hand.
Yeah. So, yeah. In the next day or so, you'll be getting a show. We'll be covering the semifinals and final show. It'll have Mayu Iwatani versus Yuzuki. You have God's Eye, which is Mirai, Rana Yamagi, Saki Kashima, and Siri versus Empress Nexus Venus, Hanako, Mina Shirakawa, Waka Tsukiyama, and Xena. You get the semifinal match between Uraraka and Hanan, Azumi and Amusa Ray. You get Crazy Star versus Crazy Star and Mai Sakurai versus Lady C, Miyu Yamasaki and Saya Kamitani from Queen's Quest versus Hazuki Kokuma and Saya Iida from Stars. Then you have Tam Nakano versus Julia. You got another one, which is Aya Sakura Ka and then Natsu Poi, Soriano, Yuna Mizumori, and Sayaka Kurara teaming up to face Oedo Tai. Then you have the finals match, and then you have Micah versus Utami Aishishida for the world title. So very big show there. We'll give you summaries of most of the multi-person tags and singles, but like the tournament matches and Tam and Julia and Micah and Hutami, we'll give you a little more in depth on those ones. So yeah, so that's coming up on the next show.
Yay.
Yay.
So much wrestling.
So
Gosh
much
dang it. So much
wrestling.
wrestling.
So much
My
wrestling.
God, we got like 3 straight days of wrestling this weekend.
Yeah, and I have a feeling we're not going to get to Japanese wrestling update because we have multiple chop talks we got to do. So that show is probably going to miss this week. We do apologize. There's some cool news that have come out this week. If we can get something out on the weekend, maybe we can try. But we've got a lot to take care of this week that I don't know if we have a time to even do a pre-recorded right now.
No, we really, I don't think do.
No, not with the amount of stuff we have to record otherwise. So
No.
that will be back on
No.
in the afternoon, very special edition. Stardom review slash J Japanese wrestling update crossover. You'll be able to check that out. Yeah. But It's time to get out of here. We're coming to the end of another episode. I want to thank everybody for joining us here. You can find me on the X at That Canada. You can find me on TikTok, Instagram, and Threads at That Canada Dude. You can find me on Facebook at Andre Melbourne Wrestling Talk, or right here, if you are watching, on our YouTube channel, Andre Melbourne Wrestling Talk. And if you're listening in audio form over on Sunday Night's Main Event, thank you so very much. And if you do want to hear us in audio form, go to SundayNightsMainEvent.com. Excuse me. Or go to patreon.com/SNME radio. We'll be having some special editions of Chop Talk coming out on SNME, the Patreon. We had from the LPW shows we're hitting up this weekend. Just as a couple, because we got a few people. We got Alan Angels on that show, Mike Bailey, Nicole Matthews, Artemis Spencer, and all the great regulars from LPW. Gigi Ray is on the Thursday show. A lot of great content coming in out for this weekend from LBW, and there's a great RCW show coming up this Saturday too. So lots of great Chop Talks gonna be coming out there. But if you
did
are
you
listening,
just see? Did you see what got announced for Saturday?
No.
Kamikaze is coming back. Ooh, and he's gonna be fighting a personal favorite of ours.
Rich King.
Colton Kelly. Colton Kelly.
Kelly's back.
Yes, Cutthroat like Colton Kelly's coming back.
Yes. There you go. Let's go. So lots of great content for Chop. So tune in to the Chop Talk over the weekend / next week for lots of great content coming out there. And yeah, again, SundayNightsMainEvent.com or Patreon.com/SNME Radio for all of our shows in audio form if you just want to put them in your podcast catcher. And then you can find me over on Twitch as Wednesday nights, whenever you're watching this, Wednesday, March 27th, I will be live with Ol' Ed talking and our boy, member of the Horde, Andreas, the humanoid freak. We'll all be, that's not an insult, that's his Twitter handle. We'll all be talking the Avengers on Marvel Talk. Yeah, on Marvel Talk this on Wednesday the 27th. If you want to watch that live, if you're hearing us, twitch.tv/ourlocalestablishment, 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern. And if you don't get to catch us live, go over to youtube.com/@ourlocalestablishment, where you can find us talking there on the replay. Also, one more big shout out to our boy Mike the Ref for simulcasting all our great stuff over on his channel. He's been a little sick this past week, has just only had enough energy to get just been doing his Twitch streams. So more of our shows will be uploaded in the next week or so. Like, we'll be getting back on track to get all the stuff uploaded. So give him some time. He's been a little bit under the weather, but we love him. He's doing his best because he's awesome. So go check him out at youtube.com/@backbreakervideo. If you want to find all his live gaming content, go to twitch.tv/MikeTheRef. And if you want replays of all this great gaming content, go to youtube.com/backbreaker_gaming, where you can find content from him, Mr. PJC, the man who I still haven't picked up his sticker, Rick Jules, still not picked up. I'm just bad at not picking things up. And their freaking guest, Kayla J.
Kayla J.
Melba, where may they find you?
If you're wanting to follow a Melba, you can find her on the X thing at Collins Melba. You can find her on everything else, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Mastodon, and Blue Sky at Melba Collins. You can also find her, as Andre mentioned, on our local establishment programming Japanese Wrestling Update. As he said, we're probably not going to have time this week because we got a lot of ish going on. We busy. It will be back on that live show, as Andre mentioned, the week after, and then back to our regularly scheduled programs on Friday at 8 p.m. Mountain Time. You can also catch me on Astro Pizarro's YouTube channel, where we do our show, Ladies Wrestling Showcase. I am doing a show with her Friday morning.
Oh, geez. We're going to have to record Friday afternoon before we go to our show, because we're going to have to talk some Thursday night LPW. Man, you're going to be busy on that Friday.
I'm going to hate everything and everyone. I'm gonna be so cranky by the end of the night. Lord help me. Stay tuned to our socials to see when that is dropping. I believe it will be happening at our regular time of 4 p.m. Eastern.
The 5 Eastern, 3 Mountain. It's usually 3 Mountain, 5 Eastern is what I've
Yeah,
noticed.
She's the one who just sends me the link. I just show up. If you're wanting to watch Stardom Wrestling, we will leave a link in the description box below. It is stardom-world.com. It is 920 yen, or approximately 10 Canadian. Shout out Sean's Bears. Your video glitched, so I had no hands, and then suddenly I had hands, and it was a little crazy. Scared me a little. Okay, 10 Canadian, shout out Sean Spears, but it's more like 750, according to me, because I checked my bank account. Still a great price while Andre is rocking back and forth there for some professional wrestling. Andre, my trusted friend and colleague, do you have anything else to say to the beautiful people?
Don't never trust me, and always. We really do appreciate all of your great support here. Whether you're watching on Andre Melville Wrestling Talk, whether you're on Backbreaker Video, or whether you're listening to the Sunday Night's Main Event, we appreciate all the support. If you are listening on Sunday Night's Main Event, please give us a 5-star review if you can. Like it in any way you can. Subscribe to the main channel if you can. If you want to support, please go to patreon.com/snmeradio. It's only $4 American per month if you want to get some great content over there, ad free for everything, and also you're gonna have exclusive content going up over there, so check that out. And then if you are watching on the YouTube, whether it's Backbreaker Video or Andre Melville Wrestling Talk, thank you so much. Please like the video, subscribe to the channel, comment down below, share us out to your friends, family, the strangers, the weird little creatures that live in the middle of the earth, and also many more. And don't forget to hit that notification bell so you can be alerted every time we drop a new video.
Ding dong. I don't really want to piss off the things in the center of the earth, though. We're good. We're kind of hooped up enough up here. We don't need them clawing their ways into our basements. That being said, I am your Malvo. Over there is Andre. We will see you next time. Mwah!